Good morning, my friends. It is certainly good for me to be here, but my place should be right at the back there rather than here speaking to you. But let us first of all seek the blessing of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, thou who art he who art the everlasting Father, the Holy Spirit, and our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow before thee and pray for grace that we might glorify and magnify thy great and thy holy name. We pray for thy blessing upon us now and for the power of thy Holy Spirit to be moving in our midst, that we may be given a true zeal for thy glory and a passion for the advance of thy kingdom here in this world. Hear us, we pray, and forgive our every sin we ask, as we beg all in the Redeemer's name and for his sake. Amen. I'd like to turn straight to the Word of God. I'd like to read a portion from the book of Nehemiah and chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. And please note as we read this, the high esteem and regard that the people of Israel had for the word of God. Nehemiah chapter 8 from verse 1, which will read the first 8 verses. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, on his right hand, and on his left hand Pedaiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbadalan, Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Shephiah, Jamin and Akub and Shabbatai, Hadijah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hana and Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Amen. I do not intend to speak to you from this portion of the Word of God, but I thought it appropriate to read this portion as it indicates the regard and the esteem that we ought to have for the Holy Scriptures. Amen. And in speaking to you this morning, I want first of all to explain a little about the work of the Society, and then go on to speak more particularly with regard to what the Word of God is. Now, I understand I'm speaking to many pastors, many men who have far greater understanding of the truth of God than I have. I am but a child in the things of God. But I pray for your forbearance as I remind you of what is a most fundamental and yet a most important doctrine of God. And one that has been, I fear, to a great extent lost sight of in our day, and that is the doctrine of Holy Scripture. The society that I represent started back in 1831. And I have now been with the society, I'm now in my 40th year in the work. And we have and have had a vision for the glory of God to fill the earth as the waters cover the seas. Our desire, our prayer, our aim, our endeavours are that the word of God may go forth among all the nations of the earth. Our vision is for the word of God among all nations. We are living in a day about 2,000 years after the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. The great work that he did, the great work undertaken by the disciples, the great work of the Holy Spirit that we have been reminded of this morning in the Acts of the Apostles. But did you know, my friends, that there are still over 6,000 languages that have not got a Bible? Is that not amazing? Is that not shameful, my friends, to us? Shameful that there are so few good Bibles in the world. There are about 500 Bibles, 500 languages that have a Bible, but only about 100 or so that have what we call a good Bible. The need for the Bible is great. As I hope, God willing, I will be able to emphasize later. The society operates from the UK, we have branches in different countries. We're working in about 120 different languages. And we have about 45 different translation projects in progress at the present time. And we do value very much our dear friend, Dr. Bill Patterson, in the work that he is doing for us. And it is most wonderful how that in the Lord's providence, we have so many great men of God who have been gifted by God with special abilities to be engaged in this most difficult of all tasks, translating the Word of God. Unless they are men of faith, and men of prayer, and men of courage, and men of determination, this work could not be undertaken. It is a special calling of God. And we thank God for those men and women whom he has raised up to undertake this work. We publish the Word of God. We publish New Testaments and Gospels. We publish scripture leaflets, scripture calendars. But all our work is to publish the Word of God in faithful and reliable translations. And this brings me to the main part of what I want to address you on this morning. What is the Word of God? Why is it that Bill Patterson and myself and many others are so concerned to ensure that the Bibles that are published and are in circulation today are faithful and reliable? Why? Well, we all have Bibles, and we all know that we call this the Word of God. It's an expression that we use so freely, so readily. But do you and I understand? Do we appreciate fully what we mean by this term, the Word of God? The Word of God. As I say, it's a great privilege for me to be here. And it is also a very humbling thing for me to be speaking to such an august assembly with regard to this book. This is the most precious thing that is tangible here in the world. In the whole world, my friends, there is nothing like this book. This book is not merely a message that comes to us. It is more than that. This is the Word of the ever-living God. When you and I open our Bibles, we are hearing the voice of the Redeemer, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is speaking. These are the words that are flowing forth from his lips perpetually. It is not a historic document. It is the ever-living, eternal Word of truth. In coming to speak of the Word of God and answer the question, what is the Bible? There are three things I want to express. And in Britain, all good sermons have three heads. I want to speak with regard to the divine origin of the Word of God. I want to speak of the divine authority of the Word of God. And I want to speak of the divine mission of the Word of God. And I hope that you'll see that what I'm saying is I'm raising a banner, the Word of God. This is the rallying spot for true partnership in all Christian activity. If we fail on this point, then, my friends, we have problems. What are the people of God? They are the men and women of the book. What are the servants of God? Well, who are missionaries? Who are pastors? Who are they? They are the preachers of the Word of God. So, firstly, the divine origin of the Word of God. And in approaching this, we need first of all to understand who we are, to understand who is the divine author of this world. What is man? What are we? If we were to remove ourselves from all the revelation of God in Christ, the revelation that God has given in his holy word, what is man? Man is a lost and ruined creature, going down into eternal darkness, eternal death, because of his rebellion against God. And God, he who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, he has given to us His word. The word of grace. The word of love. The word of reconciliation. The word of mercy. And in this volume, and alone in this volume, will we read of Jesus Christ and of the love and mercy of God. If we are to jettison the Bible, we jettison entirely the revelation of God in love, the revelation of Christ Jesus the Savior. There is no hope for man apart from revealed to us in the Word of God. All that we can do is so poor, so weak, and so foolish. But what God has done, what God has revealed to us, is the fullness of the majesty of the glory of His divine being in His holy word. Here we have the revelation of God in all His majesty and glory. Here we can learn of God. Here we can listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we, my friends, you and I, we were not privileged to be with Martha and Lazarus in the home at Bethany, to be there with Mary who sat at the feet of Christ listening to His voice. No. But you and I are in no way less well off than what she was. We have the voice of Christ here in His word. And we are to bow down before Him at the throne of His grace as He speaks to us from His word. Because His word, as we were hearing earlier, is truth. In Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is the holy, righteous, pure, just being of heaven. Before Him, the angels, the archangels, the cherubims and the seraphims, what do? Continuously, they bow down before Him and they worship Him. But this God has spoken to us. He has spoken to you and to myself. He has given to us individually His word. This God who is so righteous and so just, against whom you and I have so sinned. This one who could condemn us and ought to condemn us according to His justice into eternal damnation. What is He saying? Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. He is saying, here is my word. Here and your soul shall live. This is the word of God. It is of divine origin. There is no book like it. There is nothing that comes anywhere near to it. If you were to come with me to Oxford or to Cambridge, and you were to go into all the libraries and look at every volume, go to the British Museum and see there the many millions of volumes. What a vast, vast number. What great value there's to be found in all these books. Bring them all together from Oxford, from Cambridge, from the British Museum. Go to Yale and Harvard, bring all their books also, and they will be as nothing. Nothing, nothing at all compared to this. And you, my friend, you have this book. It is the voice of God speaking to you individually. And this is the book that the church has been given the task of preserving, translating, and distributing among the nations of the earth. What is the primary duty of every missionary? It is to take the word of God to the peoples of the earth. It is not to declare to them their own individual philosophies or the doctrines of a certain church or denomination. No. They are his servants. And that as ambassadors of God, to them has been given the word of reconciliation, the word of grace, the word of love, the word of mercy, to give to our fellow men. The law of whom? The law of man? The law of this government or that government? The law of this church or that church? No. The law of heaven. And what is the law of heaven? It is that perfect mirror. It is that perfect volume of truth. That volume in which every word, every individual word in the Hebrew and in the Greek has come down to us from heaven itself. You see, all the books that you'll find here in this world, apart from the Bible, they all emanate from men and women like ourselves, whose minds by nature are warped, whose hearts, we're told, are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Even the godliest of men cannot write anything that comes near to the word of God. This comes down from the Father of lights. This comes down from the Holy Spirit. It comes down from the God of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master. He has given his word. Or ought we not to value it? Ought we not to esteem it? Because it is of divine origin. When Ezra and those who are with him had the word of God before them, all the people, why was it that they expressed such conviction over what they had before them? It was because they, at that time at least, had an impression given to them of the divine nature of that word that Ezra was to read to. And you and I need to have this. And we can be of no value to anyone unless we ourselves individually feed upon this very precious volume of truth. We read of Legion and how he was at the feet of Christ, clothed and in his right mind. He wanted to stay with Christ. Why? He was hearing words of grace, words of love. But our Lord said, no, Legion, your work is now to go and to tell others what the Lord has done for you. He was saying to him, go, hold forth the word of life. Give to the people the word of God. Divine origin. Every word, every phrase, every sentence
It has divinity stamped upon it. And as the angels of God cry, "Holy, holy, holy to the Lord of hosts in heaven," so he has given to us his holy, holy, holy word. It is pure. It is faithful. Because it is of God. Secondly, the divine authority of the word of God. Because it is of divine origin, it necessarily has an authority. And I just want to remind you that the authority of the Word of God is paramount and supreme. Everything, everything must bow before Holy Scripture. God has spoken. Thus saith the Lord. Can there be any appeal above that? Is not this, my friends, the word that the psalmist says the Lord has exalted above his name? Is exalted above the very name of God, the very revelation of God? This is the authority. And if this is the authority that reigns and rules in the glory of heaven, is this not the authority that should reign here in this world, among all nations, in every church, in every home, in every life, in your mind, in your heart? Is the word of God supreme? Is his authority causing you to bow before every word of God? As you read the Holy Scriptures, do they make you to tremble? That was a mark of grace, and it still is a mark of grace, to tremble at the word of God. God has spoken. If you, my friends, are a true Christian, then your desire will be that the word of God will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You'll be saying, "Cause me to hear thy voice." You'll be praying, "Guide me and direct me, not by visions, not by dreams, not by the counsel so much of our fellow men that's devoid of foundation in the word of God." But your desire will be, "What says the Holy Scripture? What is God saying to me in this circumstance or in that circumstance?" You young people, what need you have to have an ear to hear the word of God? Incline your ear and come unto me. This is what God is saying. He is the commander. He is the leader. And he is saying, "Incline your ear and come unto me." And where is he saying this? From the very heart of the word of God. You see, how can I express this? This is the word of God. God today is speaking to us. We live in time. We can speak of how old we are, of how many years have passed since this or that event happened. God lives in the eternal present. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What Christ spoke, he speaks, and he will speak. His voice is unto the sons of men. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. He's calling us as the great God, the all-glorious, the majestic God of heaven and of earth, the God of authority, the one who demands all from us. I was thinking with regard to Enoch and to Noah. It says they walked with God. And I'm sure that if they hadn't had Bibles in their day, they would have been diligent and prayerful readers of the Holy Scripture. But now, in 2014, you and I are to walk with God. And that means that we are to walk under his authority, under his command. If we are truly Christians, then we are saying he is our Lord. Christ is our master. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. And if we are not our own, and we are not seeking to serve ourselves, then, my friends, it will be our desire to serve God in accordance with the word of authority, because he is the God of authority. And so the Bible is of divine authority. And there is no authority in the world that can ever stand against the Holy Scriptures. We ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to serve God rather than our own wishes or desires or interests. No, we must crucify flesh. We must deny ourselves and walk in the ways of God, because this book is of divine authority. Then thirdly, if I've got time to quickly cover this, the Bible has a divine mission. It has a divine mission. Because God is God, because God is the divine author of his own word, because God is the one who has all authority, he has a divine mission for his word here in this world. And this he is seeking to accomplish through the means of his people and his church. You know of how the Apostle Paul refers to the work of the Old Testament church in Romans chapter 4, where he says how that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Unto us are committed today the oracles of God. You as individuals, we as churches, we have committed to us the word of God. For our own benefit, yes, but beyond that, for the glory of our God, for the salvation of our fellow men, the word of God is to be distributed. The whole of the history of the Christian church has revolved around the word of God. And the entirety of the future of the Christian church will likewise revolve around the Word of God. Here is God in the midst of His church, by His Word and by His Spirit. This Bible is called the sword of the Spirit. Why? Because it is the effectual means that God has given for the accomplishing of His purposes here in this world. It is by the Word of God that sinners are converted and that the Lord's people are edified, established, and sanctified. By the Word of truth, by the Word of God, by the Holy Scriptures. Today we have so many books, so many computers, smartphones, and whatever else. But there's only one Word of God. And all that we may use may be of benefit. But only, my friends, will we be ever converted by the seed of the kingdom. And what is the seed of the kingdom? The Word of God. Will only be sanctified by what? The truth. By the Word of God. It is imperative. It is the means that God has established here in the world, in the hands of His church, by His Spirit, for the gathering of the people of God to Himself, and of their being sanctified and made holy and useful in His cause and in His kingdom. You remember the two questions that Saul of Tarsus asked on the road to Damascus when he was converted. Those two questions are so fundamental. Who art thou, Lord? Here's the answer. What wilt thou have me to do? Here is the answer. For you and for our fellow men. We can think of the different nations of the world. We can think of the great distress that is to be found in Syria, in Sudan, and many other parts of the world. What, my friends, will save a sinner from the darkness and torment of hell? The Word of God. Here is God speaking in this world. And He is taking His Word. He is enlightening the mind. He is opening the heart. And He is turning sinners in repentance and faith unto Himself. How? By the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. This is the mission of God in this world. It is to take His Word and to use it among the men, the women, and the children throughout North America, throughout Central America, throughout South America, throughout Africa, throughout all the continents of the earth. I was reading this morning of a time when there was a battle, and the forces on one side were losing. They were retreating. It's like our day, isn't it? Retreating. The church is in retreat. Go to Europe. You've heard about Scandinavia, and it is so true. Go to Great Britain. Oh, what a retreat there is there. Well, on this battlefield, there was the the commanding officer, and he was trying to regather his troops. And he was looking around, where's the standard bearer? He saw him afar off. And he cried to him, bring the standard down here where the troops are. And the standard bearer said, no! You bring the troops to where the standard is. This is the standard. And this is where we need to be. Amen. Thank you.